So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all our fans excited, and our sponsors. Yeah. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Talkin' Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Talkin' Sports. There's Rob.
Hey!
Back in the saddle.
This is it, man.
Been a couple of weeks.
It's nice to see my mohawk is still here in this chair. I've worked hard on that mohawk.
It's true, man. We appreciate that work. What's happening over there?
Got a little Big Rig Alpha Bomb and a little Waterloo Dark.
It seems to have become a go-to, the Alpha Bomb.
It's got that nice citrus kind of back kick to it, to an IPA.
Oh, the old back kick.
Love it. It's like a... You know, it's like a mule kick to the salivary glands.
That's not what I'm looking for.
Sure it is, man. Get all that up and going. It's like a douche for your boosh.
I don't know what that means, so we'll just carry right on. Yes, I do. It's been like 3 weeks since you've been here, man. Where the fuck you been?
All over the place and nowhere.
You guys are busy, man.
I got shit to do.
Yeah.
Some of it real and some of it imaginary.
Why don't we start? We'll catch up, and we're not going to go all back. There's been a million things that have happened since last time you were in here, and your pal Matty Lang has filled in admirably.
Has grown 4 inches?
No.
No.
No. Although he's walking around like it after the Super Bowl, and I think that's where we'll start. We got a couple of things that have happened more recently, and we'll get to that. But why don't we start, because I know a few people haven't checked it out yet, Talkin' Sports 297 is up now. That happened immediately in the aftermath of the Super Bowl. Matty was feeling no pain at that point when he sat down and recorded that with us. A late night show reacting to it. I know you wanted to give a couple of thoughts on what had gone down.
For all the listeners out there who are dedicated, stick with us.
Yeah.
We'll know that right off of last year's Super Bowl 52, I had said, I'm going to be a Rams fan.
He did say that.
Moving forward, I am going to throw my support behind the LA Rams.
So would it be fair for some of those fans who have been with us that long to look at you and do a little
Yeah, okay, but this was before before they traded for Brandon Cooks.
Yep.
This is before they signed Ndamukong Suh.
Yep.
Right? To me, they were an up-and-coming team.
So you would call it good timing. Jumped on the bandwagon just before it got cool.
Yeah, well, and as I'd said
got
to you...
Got a comfy seat. Put
as I'd
up.
Said to you before, this is it, get on early. Well, as I'd said to you, late in last season, watching an Eagles-Rams game, and I was thoroughly entertained by both teams.
Right.
As somebody who doesn't really have...
A horse in the race.
Exactly.
At the time.
And so I'm like, man... both those teams were coming off previous seasons where they were woeful,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And thinking, I could get behind either one of these teams to sort of, as with young quarterbacks, teams on the come.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Eagles went and won the Super Bowl, and you're like, okay.
Hard to jump on that,
bandwagon. Okay, I'm not doing that. Rams.
Right.
The team that had, to me, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, Aaron Donald. Young quarterback, young running back, and you go, that's where I want to go, man. I want to be a Rams fan.
Well, and Matty says, that's where it's at, is Jared Goff. It's not just young, exciting quarterback. Could be next the quarterback, right? Like,
yeah,
as we turn
Mahomes,
the page.
Mahomes would say sure, something about that.
Sure, but we've talked about that with him on the show recently that we're in a really interesting time of this kind of old guard, right, where we saw on AFC and NFC Sunday, Drew Brees and Tom Brady on one side of things and these two young guns on the other side.
Yep.
One went one way, one went the other, but we're at an interesting point where it looks like they're ready to turn the page a little bit and there's going to be this next kind of come up of exciting quarterbacks.
And again, and I know you and Matty, so we don't want to go into this in depth, but to me, when you have – clearly Todd Gurley not healthy.
Right.
Right. No matter what they want to say,
yeah.
they want to use him. If you watched him early in the year, he was dynamic up the middle. He was dynamic outside. He was able to turn the corner. Power. Like, to me, he was dominant, game changing. We didn't see that.
No.
Right. No explosiveness, no ability to turn the outside. They never even tried him outside. So, yeah, the old quarterback, the old savvy vet, and to me, this was all about Belichick more than Brady.
I was going to ask you about that because, and his name is escaping right now, the head coach from L.A.
McVay.
Said in the post game, he said, it's pretty simple. I was outcoached in this game. Did you feel that way? Because I thought the whole game was a fucking dog in terms of entertainment value, in terms...
Right. To me, this was all about Wade Phillips versus Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Right? The two defensive coaches, right? That's where this was. And at the end of the day, as a quasi-Rams fan...
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end, you got to go, too good, man. Too good. Not Tom Brady too good.
Right.
Bill Belichick too good. Right? Just to me, he showed the two young guys, McVay and Goff, you got work to go.
Right.
Now Goff and McVay need to figure out, right, are they going to be Atlanta?
Right.
Right. Are they going to be Tampa Bay? Are they going to be Seattle? Are they going to be one of those teams that sort of jump up?
But not quite there.
And then fade away.
Right.
Right. Where are you, right? In terms of all those free agents and the signings they made, right, since Rob became a fan, right? Clearly all those people said, okay, all right, that's where we're going.
We're following Rob.
So we'll see, right? To me, there was, I get a daily subscription to Ramswire, and right. So it shows up, and just today it said.
Never heard anyone say that before.
Yeah. Nine biggest, you know, off-season concerns for the Rams, and I'm like, okay, that's an article for another day, period. But if you look at that game, right, in the second half, when the Rams had any kind of success,
yeah.
right, they tried to, they had that one third and long play,
yep.
and they had Woods going the one way, and they had
Cooks
going the other way,
yeah.
and they tried, and Cooks was in tight coverage, and the Woods, and they showed it, right, Tony Romo had it done beautifully, right, Woods is wide open on the one side, but he tried to force the ball into coverage into Cooks.
Yeah.
And then there was Cooks dropping that ball in the back of the end zone. And honestly,
with like 6 minutes left.
If he hits him at the 10 when he's got his hand up going, hey, whoop. And then he ran out of space.
Yep.
Had to slow down and then allows for coverage to come in, right? And so those are the two plays. Changed the game. You had two opportunities and it didn't happen. And obviously an injured Gurley. An excellently executed defensive scheme by Belichick, and that's the game, man.
Well, and
boring as shit, though, the game.
Well, and that is the counterpoint that I've seen since we did that show with Maddie on Sunday night, was I was on here railing against this game, and I still feel that it was a dog entertainment-wise.
It was a dog.
But it was tight all the way to the end. If you want it to be up in the air still, uncertain, could go either way, it still had that. It still had that right to the end. And we talked with...
It didn't feel like that to me, though.
It didn't feel like it. But right with 6 minutes to go is when we're talking about that drop pass in the end zone where he tried to force it in there. You know, you score that touchdown. Here we go, right? Like...
Yep.
And so it did have... You couldn't turn it... Like, you couldn't turn it off. It was a couple of years ago now. Was it not the Broncos and the Saints, maybe? I can't remember. Who kicked the shit out of the Broncos in the Super Bowl? Where I was a Peyton Manning guy, it doesn't matter. And I was sure that was over in the second quarter. It was just a merciless beatdown, like 48-8 or something. That was a dog of a football game that you could turn off. This was, well, this sucks. But
yeah, you wanted to turn it off, but you didn't.
One pass and we're back in business here, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's true.
At least held your attention that way.
Well, and listening to an analyst on Monday, and I can't remember where it was, because of their previous five Super Bowl wins, the Patriots have always won by just one score.
Yes.
And so somebody had said, if you had told me that Tom Brady was going to throw for 500 plus yards and three touchdowns and lose the game by 8 points, and then in this one he would, you know, throw an interception, only score 13 points, and throw for 250 yards, and they would win by 10 points.
Right.
The largest margin of victory in any of their six. He said, I'd say you're high.
Yeah.
But yet.
That's exactly what happened.
Et voila. There's back-to-back Super Bowls, and you go.
The lowest scoring of any of them is the one they won by the highest margin of victory. Unreal, well, yeah, man.
You score 13 points, and you win by 10.
Yeah. That's so fucked.
Yeah. And again, I think. I would just love to see. Now, the missing of Cooper Kupp is huge, right? He is a great hands receiver for the Rams and a not healthy Todd Gurley.
Right.
To me, those things are.
Sure.
And Goff looked rattled. Young guy, right? And I think McVay's probably right.
Through most of the first half, I felt that I was looking at two sputtering offenses way more than I felt like I was looking at two great defenses. In the second half, I felt like New England's defense had stepped it up a bit, but through large portions of that game, I just looked at that and went, you're just not executing.
I love the big stones when the Rams give the Patriots the ball first.
Yep.
Saying, yeah, the past 2 weeks, we've seen you run the ball up the throat of both the Chargers and the Chiefs. We believe you can't do that here today. And it leads to an interception. You're like, money! Oh, we are going to punt 6 out of 7 next times we have the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, no! We suck again. Yeah. So anyways, I had no problem with the halftime show. I find all this outrage.
Who's outraged?
A lot of people saying, who wants to see Maroon 5?
Okay.
Why is there no hip-hop acts?
Turns out I'm outraged.
Yeah, why is there no hip-hop acts? Why?
How come we can see Adam Levine's nipples and not Janet Jackson's?
So at this huge party, and people are like, oh, look at Adam Levine's shirt. It looks like a couch. It looks like an upholstered couch, right? And women are panning it. And then he whips off his shirt. All of his shirt, and he's down to the skins, and you're like, and now those same women are like, oh, look at that guy.
Kind of looks like a meth addict, to be honest with you.
Super tight.
Yeah.
Abs. Now, did you see that? Now, you're a big Twitter guy. You see that tweet? Because people are saying, why do you have a tattoo of the state of California across your abs? That's odd. Well, there was a guy from somewhere here, I don't know where it was, Northern Ontario, most likely. Got a body like a milk bag.
And do you think it was our pal Mason in Manitoba?
He took a Sharpie and he drew the province of Ontario on his big boiler. He tweeted that out. And honestly, it got many, many retweets. Right? And everyone's like, look at that guy.
Having a good Super Bowl.
Yeah,
Super
for sure. Yeah, Levine, suck on this. Yeah, so... I totally get it, man.
Yeah, sure.
Love that. If you're going to be critical,
yeah,
be original.
It's true, man. Like I said, we went real in-depth on the game. If you want to check that. It's
One final is Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
A great performance,
mm-hmm.
right? Double team that mofo. What's happening here? Why isn't anybody on top of that? What can't be, and I honestly, it's totally underreported, and I don't think I'm breaking news here. Dude served 4 games for PEDs this year.
Yeah.
Right? In baseball, you serve 50 games, and you are not eligible for post-game service.
Right.
Post-season service.
Yep.
In the Super Bowl, they're like, fuck it, and you are MVP of the finals.
Well, and that's fascinating, right? Because we've seen so much talk, especially over the last few weeks, when it comes to the Baseball Hall of Fame and PEDs, right?
Yeah.
Did these guys get in? Did these guys not get in? This guy, within a calendar year, has missed 4 games for PEDs, and they're like the morning after the Super Bowl. Hall of Fame worthy? Hall of Fame worthy? Should we put... What the fuck? Two very different sports, I guess, man.
For sure it is. And you look at... This is a guy... Who was a quarterback?
Yeah,
in university.
It's their own Brad Sinopoli.
Well, okay, but you look at the difference in his body, right, from his time at Kent State.
His buddy.
Buddy. To now, right? You can't tell me,
right?
Buddy's not freaking in the gym, right? Like it's honestly They call it performance enhancing drugs.
The all new New England Inflategate.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet here he is. He is your Super Bowl MVP with the worst fucking beard you have ever seen. It looks like a wicked batch of uncontrolled pubic hair on dude's face. Come on, man.
Get it together, buddy.
Honestly, I'm fucking...
That is not an MVP beard.
That is not an MVP beard. I'm telling you right now. So anyways, Julian Edelman. Drug cheat.
I probably would have went with...
Super Bowl MVP.
I probably would have went with Kilmore on... for MVP. Somebody on the defensive side of the ball, at least.
Or Sony Michel. What's wrong with that?
Sure. But just with how the offense is sputtered, I'm probably going defensive guy. Because how often do you even have the chance to give a defensive guy the MVP? Right? So to me...
Never.
Yeah. So I probably would have done that here, but I'm not particularly torn up about it. I was fairly indifferent to the Super Bowl halftime show. It's exactly what I thought it would be. They've had way better ones, but not recently. And the fact that no black artist will... or most black artists will not participate at this point, given what's happened with Kaepernick, and to watch Adam Levine and Maroon 5 say, we will not do any interviews leading up to this except for the host network, which is CBS, because they won't ask us difficult questions. I thought was interesting and maybe a little cowardly. Why did you believe it was okay for you to do it when most artists were saying no? I don't think they wanted to answer that question, but it is what it is, right? And beyond that, I didn't really care. Why don't we move back into a little puck?
Puck!
Which end of the province do you want to start at?
We'll just briefly touch on what's happening here in Ottawa. Okay. How about that?
Sure. And then we'll get to big boy teams doing big boy things.
Yep.
Yep. So this week...
People that look like they know what they're doing as opposed to muddling around.
I don't know, man. Not all the fan base agrees with that. We'll get to that, though. This week, Matt Duchene's agent is in Ottawa to meet with...
Brisson.
To meet with Senators management. Mark Stone also remains unsigned, as does Dzingel. Why don't I give you the floor on this to start? Where do you think the state of those three negotiations are?
Nobody has any fucking clue.
Okay. Including Pierre Dorion.
Well, and...
Especially
Pierre Dorion. And for anybody out there listening, Pat Brisson... Also the rep for John Tavares.
Yeah.
And if you listen to Matt Duchene, he's saying a lot of the same things you heard Tavares say last year. I don't know. I'm still thinking. I'm evaluating.
Just today.
I'm judging.
If you asked me to pick right now, I'm leaning towards staying, but we're not sure.
Yeah. And so more than ever, that to me is obviously these guys are so well coached now, right?
Yeah, PR
through the agent saying, you know what? Just stall. Hey, Matt, you don't want to look like the bad guy. You already asked to be traded at a Colorado.
Yeah.
Don't say, hey, I came here wanting to play for a winner and play in the playoffs, and that shit ain't happening. And it ain't happening for years here. So, no, I'm not signing here. And then the fan base goes, you're a douche, just like everybody thought. No, instead he's like, I'm evaluating and I'm gonna drag this out.
Yeah.
And then the team's gonna have to trade me, and the team will look like the bad guy. They got a shitty deal for me. So to me, this is Brisson. This is his MO.
So let me sell you this and see whether you're buying.
Okay.
The Senators, a year and a half ago, not even, when they traded for Matt Duchene. At the time, they still have Erik Karlsson. They're coming off of an Eastern Conference final appearance. They feel like they're much further ahead than they are. And
well, the very astute Pierre in Orleans said, we're going for it. This is a going for it deal.
Right.
Oh.
When they acquired him a year and a half ago, regardless of what the case of the team was then versus now, did they not think they were going to have to pay him top dollar? They said, we're acquiring a number one center.
Yep.
And he's played pretty well this year.
Well, he's been a point-of-game guy since he's been here.
So what did they think was going to happen? You were going to have to pay him, whether it was Stone and Dzingel that were whether Carlson was still here.
You asking me to justify or explain what this fucking management and ownership group is doing or thinking?
I guess I'm just thinking you made this huge trade. You shipped out an extremely popular Kyle Turris for what you believed to be an upgrade. We can debate all day, although the stats would probably solve that debate this year.
Not even close.
Who was better, right?
Not even close last year.
You knew you were going to have to pay him.
Yep.
So what the fuck are we doing now?
Yep.
Like,
yeah, no.
Can't be a surprise.
Yeah. You know what the problem is? And it comes down to, and really, I'm of the mind, before I get into what the problem is, I'm of a mind of, you trade CC for whatever you can get. You trade Dzingel, you trade Stone, and you trade Duchesne.
Yeah.
You trade everybody.
I'm doing that. You're gone. All of you.
All of you. Because the reality is, you can't compete with any of the teams right now.
Yeah, you have all of these guys now, and you're not competing.
No. And so you can wait for your Tkachuks and your Whites and your Shabbats and your Bathursons.
Who all look legit.
And you can wait for them to come. And Gustafson in net.
Yep.
You can wait for all that to happen.
Those guys are now 32. Duchesne.
This is it. And so, to me, you have to look forward and say, we need to worry about competing with Toronto and Tampa in a couple of years, not the Pittsburghs and the Washingtons now.
Aging cores.
With the aging core, we need to worry and look at the guys, even to a lesser extent, Boston. They're kind of in that middle group, right?
Well, and depending on what you think about Buffalo with Rasmus Dahlin coming up, right?
And Eichel's Dahlin and Eichel, right? Yep. In terms of where that is. That's where we need to contend with. So it's not there now.
Right.
These guys, in a couple of years, the league has shown 30, 32. Bam, that's the line now.
You're going downhill after that.
This is it. So, yes, Stone, 28. Psh, sorry, man.
Where do you stand then on the counterpoint to that is, got to sell fucking tickets, right? There's got to be something for this fan base
to
watch. Right. Does it get worse?
If
you trade these guys, how much further will it dip?
Yeah, it doesn't get worse. I think right now,
this is the number of hardcores that are going to come either
way. This is. If you look at the, that sort of, well, I don't even know what it is, what the average attendance is, but I'm 14 now.
I think it's 14-ish.
And so that is where attendance is going to be.
Right.
The reality is, you trade those guys out. 3 days later, you find out there's been a shift in ownership.
Right.
Whatever that happens, the arena moves to LeBreton.
Yep.
And you go, that's what it is. We're looking for 5 years down the road, and that's it.
And here's the thing, man, because when you look at all of these guys, if I'm Duchesne, I'm not signing unless Stone is signing, and vice versa. Can they afford both? Probably. Should they? Probably not.
The reality is, without those guys, how are you making the salary cap floor?
Right. I guess the place I was going next is in this generation of the NHL, if you don't think you're going to be any good, go young and go fast, right? So, sorry, Stone, like Duchesne, you're gone. I don't know, maybe I can talk Dzingel into staying because he's a little bit cheaper, I think, on the AAV, and, you know, he's a guy who can score some goals for us. So maybe you keep him around, right? But you go young and you go fast. When you look at Vegas last year, right, it was a system, it was cast-offs, and they were fast. The Habs this year, no one expected the Habs to be any good, but they're young and they're fast and they have a goalie, right? So I think if I don't think that I can contend immediately by re-signing Stone and Duchesne, and I don't, then you're all gone, and it saves me some money down the road that I can save because I'm going to have to eventually pay Tkachuk and Shabbat and these sorts of guys, right? So for right now, young and fast, we'll see what happens and we'll let these guys develop.
Well, and you've made an excellent point here with Carey Price, right? Habs fans 2 years ago, Carey's got to resign.
Right.
We got to sign Carey.
Yeah.
We got to resign Carey. Carey, do you love it in Montreal? Tell us you love it in Montreal. Come on, Carey.
Touch it. Just
you love it. You love it here, don't you, Carey? Come on. And then he signs, you go, holy fuck, we got that guy for 8 more years.
Yeah.
We're fucked.
Right.
We're fucked. That's what's going to happen here, right? If by chance we sign Stone and Duchesne for 7 or 8 years, we're fucked.
Yeah.
By
the time they're ready, the rest of these guys are ready to help, those guys are over the hill and you're fucked.
And you're hamstrung by their salary.
Yep.
So you have to understand, people have to look at it and go, yeah, I would love for them to grow into this team, and we have these guys, and you bring up a couple of other guys.
Yeah.
But you know what? You're fucking yourself down the road. And you and I talked about this, and we can segue out because, to me, really, the Ottawa scene is totally in flux. They could sign Stone and Duchesne. They could fucking trade everybody but keep Dzingel, which is a worst-case scenario because, to me, he's a B-plus prospect in terms of of what's going
to
happen.
I'm just trying to keep somebody scoring goals.
No, no, I get it. But I'm just saying he's a guy who's...
Like you said, you got to get to the cap floor.
He was a sixth round pick, and you're going to have to pay that guy $5.5 million.
Yeah, I would do that. Play on a line, I guess, with White and
so we talked about this. We talked about this earlier, and what's fucking Ottawa right now and why they won't sign here is when you look at the Austin Matthews contract, Ottawa and the ownership here is not willing to pay huge signing bonuses
right.
on July 1st, right? They're not willing to pay out 85% of your contract to prevent a lockout or lockout protection, right?
Right.
When you look at the Matthews contract today, which was where we were going anyways.
Yep. Just before you jump, though, I do want to stay on Ottawa for one more. I can't believe you're trying to push to Toronto and I'm trying to stay in Ottawa. I wonder, do you think that the reason they don't think they should trade these guys is just the PR nightmare that's behind you? It would just be one more kick in the fucking stones, like, oh, now we can't even keep our own guys. Okay, to me, that die is cast.
Well,
right?
When you
brought in Duchesne, you thought you were a contender. Turns out you're not.
Well, that was a terrible... Honestly...
Not you specifically.
I know. No. I know. But I'm saying that run to the conference final... And a game seven overtime goal.
One bounce away.
We lost to Pittsburgh, who won the cup.
Yeah.
That team was not a cup-winning team. To me, that's like Edmonton losing the cup final in 04, 05, whatever that was.
To Carolina.
06. They were not. That was like a paper mache fucking cup run. Right,
Fernando Pisani says,
I was just going to say, right, how much more money can we sink into Pisani? Right, and you go, that is not a cup-worthy team.
Right.
Great run.
Yep.
Backstop by old, what's his fucking...
Old Dwayne Rolison. Old
Dwayne Rowley, Rowley the goalie. And so he got hot, and that's it.
Yep.
Boom, old goalie, and you sort of go, that team was not a cup team. Ottawa's team? Not a conference finalist team.
Right.
The matchups flopped well for them, an injured Boston team, an underachieving New York team, and you go, bam, bam, that's awesome.
Right.
Anybody with half a brain, a hockey brain, understood that that team was not a conference finalist team.
But none of us thought they were as bad as they would be the next year.
For sure not. And there's all those other problems that come with it, the change room, the chemistry, all that sort of stuff. But when it comes down to it, and you're talking about the PR.
That, I think, is a problem now.
Well, and the reality is, what other franchise goes, yeah, we have a point-of-game center, great skater, you know, an elite player. Yeah, we got to trade him. We have a 70-point winger who is...
Unreal two-way.
Unreal. He leads the league in takeaways for the past 3 years.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to trade that guy away. We have a two-time Norris Trophy winner. We're going to trade that guy away, right? And you got to tune into Trade Center and all the insiders, and you got these fuckers with their fat, dirty fingers... Right in our wound, and they're frigging around, and you're like, that's us as a fan base, right? Fingers right in the wound, messing around, going, what do you think's going to happen here? Look at this. Mm.
Again, because it was Carlson last year. Or is he going to get dealt by the deadline?
This is what I'm saying is after a while, you go, I'm fucking indignant with the whole thing, right? At the end, you go, what do you got to do? You are a fucking laughingstock.
Right. So just keep being one for now.
Well, that's what's
best for the team is to deal these guys and get what you can.
Okay, and doubling back.
Yeah, no, you said.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm getting rid of all of them. and whatever I can get. And I want more than picks. And I know if you can get a first round pick this year, fine.
Because that could also be ugly.
Well, okay, but it's gone. Our first round pick is gone.
Right? Don't tell me it's not a thing again. Well,
of course,
if Colorado's grabbing Jack Hughes.
It's a huge thing. But to me, Jack Hughes is, if, let's just say, shoot for the moon, Jack Hughes turns out to be Patrick Kane.
Yep.
Okay, let's just say that's the deal.
Yep.
All right. He's not McDavid. He's not even what, to me, Rasmus Dahlin pans out to be.
Yeah.
He's not even Austin Matthews.
You hope.
To me, Patrick Kane, he's a great...
Not Jack Hughes, I mean.
No, I know, but I'm talking about Kane as a number one overall pick, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's a good player, great player.
Yep.
Three-time cup winner, all those things, right? But he is a fantastic complement to Jonathan Toews in those cup wins.
Yeah, okay.
All I'm saying is, we want that.
I feel like in Ottawa, we're trying to downplay a little bit what Jack Hughes might be.
Sure, I get that. Yeah. And how else would you expect me to sell that?
Because as Toronto, I
don't see Jack Hughes as a generational player.
Downplayed what Tyler Seguin was going to be, because I'm not getting him.
I'm taking Kaapo Kakko anyways, if it comes down to it.
Yeah, but no, you're not. So.
Oh, because wait, I don't have the pick.
Right. Ah. So, no, you're right. I see what you're saying. It'd be fine to collect first round picks. You probably need to be collecting top end 20 to 21 year old guys ready to come in with Shabbat, with Tkachuk, with Batherson,
and
be that next wave of guys. Yeah.
Yep.
So we're hoping to empty the cupboard in Ottawa here, I think, is where we're going.
That's what I'm saying.
Toronto,
that being said, we'll probably sign them all and we'll be mediocre for years to come.
Filling up over here. Toronto empties their wallet. Not really. Into Austin Matthews today.
Not even close.
Signs a 5-year contract worth 11.634, because it's got to be cute. It's got to match your number at the end. Did I say with Austin Matthews? I did say Austin Matthews. It's pretty obvious. I think you people know at this point. All kinds of criticism from one side of the fan base in that you didn't get near enough discount for the fact that you didn't sign 8 years, right? Get those UFA years that normally you would have to buy. Criticism from other people saying that he hasn't stayed healthy long enough to have earned this type of money. And probably the third portion of the fan base, it's going, this is probably how it goes, right? Like, this is what it costs to... Look, before we go any further, I would have much preferred an 8-year deal. But the AAV, the annual salary, was going to make it prohibitive to even be able to consider still getting Marner, to keep the guys you already have without having to deal people. This is kind of the cost of doing business, is the cap hit goes down with the number of years. And I don't love it, but I don't think it's the disaster that so many people are saying that it is. I think what you've guaranteed yourself is 6 runs at the Stanley Cup with John Tavares and Austin Matthews as your 1 and 2 centers. And I think a lot of teams would probably take that.
Yeah. I think I side with the group that says, you overpaid for the 5 years. Without having to buy.
Bought one UFA years, didn't buy the rest.
This is it. And at 11.634, man, you are 900 grand from the Connor McDavid money.
And here's where we get into the hairy bullshit Do you care about Connor McDavid's cap hit, or do you care about Connor McDavid's percentage of the cap? And it sounds a lot like agents.
Hey, everybody cares about the number.
Sure.
Right? Nobody says, okay, you paid me this, but I am more of my team's cap than you are. No, they fucking look at it. Guys at that level with the big hairy nutsacks go, I'm making this versus what he's making, right? And if you look at it and go, yeah, that is, you know, 8% off of what Connor McDavid makes, to me, his stats are not 8% off of Connor McDavid's.
You've got him worse than that.
I've got him worse than that. I've got his as whatever it is, 0.95, 0.9 points per game versus McDavid's 1.25 or whatever it is.
Forget well, we about can't, it. Whatever it is.
Okay. It is. And I have the numbers, right? It is 280 games played, 340 points, Connor McDavid.
Right? Where do you stand on, and this is important, points per game versus points per season? Because Matthews,
I'm giving you the points per game. Because if you remember, Connor McDavid missed half of his first season.
Yep. So you have to start factoring in goals per 60, right? 5-on-5 goals per 60 minutes, 5-on-5.
I'm looking at points per game. I'm looking at points per game.
And that's legit. That's what we should be looking at, right? I don't think anyone thinks Austin Matthews is Connor McDavid. I hope you don't.
No.
But I know you don't. That's not always how
Austin Matthews is good, though.
That's not how the cap works, right? Is I'm our team's top guy. I'm a top five guy in the league in terms of scorers. I'm a better goal scorer than Connor McDavid, which is valued more highly than assists. And I think Mitch Marner is going to find that out, and we'll get to that in a second. If you were to give, and you're suggesting you wouldn't, and that's fine. If you were to give Austin Matthews Connor McDavid's percentage of the cap, that would have been $13.8 million this year.
Yeah. And again,
so he has taken that down.
We are arguing. We are splitting hairs. And when I say we, it's probably more me than you.
I don't think this is perfect by any means.
Because we have talked about, since McDavid signed that contract, which was groundbreaking.
He also took a discount. He's worth more than what he got.
Well, but his was so far ahead of what anybody else.
And that was, I'm sure, what alarmed him. He went back to the team and said, here's 250 grand or whatever it was, which is not nothing, right? Here it is. But please don't spend it on Ryan Spooner. And they spent it on Ryan Spooner. That's probably why you don't give money back, is because you don't trust her.
You never give it back because they don't know what they're doing.
I don't think that William Nylander gave Toronto a hometown discount. Here's a haircut so I can stay. I don't think Austin Matthews did that either. And so I don't think Mitch Marner will. We're getting all these guys at face value, or if you want, if you believe, maybe a little worse than that. But we're not getting this, hey, we'll all take a little less to stay. And that's making it hard. That's going to cost us a Kapanen or a Janssen.
But I do agree that if you were to sign him for 8 years, you're paying him more money.
Yes.
I totally agree with that.
And it's going to be up near 14.
You said whenever the last show or one of the last shows, sports shows you and I did together, you said that. You were like, hey, what I'm hearing is 5 years. That maybe that's an option, right?
Yes, I did.
You did say that.
I expected that to relate more to Marner than Matthews. I thought they would give the center.
And you said it about Matthews, because I remember leaving here and then the next day emailing you saying, yeah, I don't know, man. If I'm that guy who has a couple of significant shoulder injuries. Take the long term, man. Take the $13 million over 8 years AAV.
So apparently they sat down and they talked about that, and Matthews as well as the team understood that if we do 8 years to hedge against the rising cap, he has to take so much that it cripples their ability to keep everybody. So we can argue about whether or not they overpaid at 11.6 5 years.
Just hold on a second.
Yeah.
Because I think the way around that is, And it's funny because after we had this conversation today and we said, yeah, we're going to talk about this tonight, and it happened. And I went back and I looked at the Kucherov and I looked at the Kuznetsov and I looked at Johansson and O'Reilly and Pastrnak and Marchand and Goudreau, all their AAVs, and they're all flat right across the board, right?
Yeah.
For the next 5 years, like right on cap friendly, right off the grid, same AAV. And you go, well, what's wrong with going back to, we're going to pay you 8.5 next year? we're going to pay you 12 the next year. We're going to pay you 14 after that.
Right.
Right. Having it work that way. Now, I understand everybody wants it, but as a young guy.
So that's an important point, what you're bringing up there. As a young guy, if he takes 8 years now, he comes out of that deal at 28, 29 years old. No one's giving him another 8-year deal then, most likely, right? Not at the money he wants. You're too old. We're starting to see that. If he does 5 years now, comes out as a UFA at 26 or 27, you can get your 8 years that will take you to 35 years of age, 34 years of age, and you'll get it, right? So even going the opposite, right? 8 years now, can you get 5 years later, taking you to 34? That's looking harder as things move along. And so I think that's a big part of how this is not only shaping up in Toronto, and we'll see what's going to happen with Marner, but, you know, what does it mean for Braden Point and Patrick Laine and Mikko Rantanen? I think we're about to see a lot of guys get paid more than RFAs have in the past, and I think there's a bit of a landscape change here.
Well, that was something else we brought up here on the show was you are stuck with the 8-year contract when that's what everybody's offering.
Yeah.
Right? And now you look at Kevin Cheveldayoff in Winnipeg, who has wisely, look at the Blake Wheeler deal.
Yeah.
Right? He sort of that flew in the face at that point of a shorter sort of decent contract, but shorter term, right? And so you look at that and go, wow, why wouldn't you have exploited it? And you go, that's what's happening now. And so you need more teams to do it to sort of pull other GMs back from the brink. And you go,
well, and this is the thing, right? Like when the salary cap first came in, your top star started getting 12 and 13 year deals, right? It was ridiculous. And they had to reel that in.
20% of your cap.
And after this most recent lockout in 2013, they limited what you could sign to 8 years. And it seemed like all the top guys got 8 years. And so that's the norm. But if you go back to before that 04-05 lockout, I can remember Matt Sundin signing for $9 million for 5 years. Curtis Joseph's deal was a 4-year deal. Ed Belfour's deal. And I know these are all Leaf deals, but there wasn't this magnet, right, pulling you to the top end. It was just signed for whatever you want for however long you can get. And so there was nothing wrong with it. No one assumed that when Matt Sundin signed for 5 years, he was like, oh my God, he wants to leave in six. It was just, no, that's the fucking contract, right? Yeah. And that's, you know, Bob McKenzie reported today that Matthews came into this asking for 8 years. And it was this idea that, oh, 5 years means he probably doesn't want to stay in Toronto. That's stupid. It means,
well, he's 26 or 27.
Right.
Which means his next contract
is huge.
He's got another 4 or 5 years.
At least. He can probably stretch that into a 7 or 8 year deal.
Well, because I don't think the 8 year deals are going to be available then.
I think that's an interesting point. When we come out of the next CBA slash potential lockout, they shortened this even more?
I think one of the things that they're going to die on, or a couple of the things,
signing bonuses and contract length.
And closer to the NBA 4 and 5, which is what they offer, right? As opposed to the 7 and 8 the NHL has.
So let's talk about the signing bonus for a second, because you alluded to that earlier in terms of things Toronto's willing to do versus Ottawa. And it's more big market versus small market. Well,
and what Toronto can do.
Yes.
So Toronto has more money than they can spend.
So this year on July 1st, Austin Matthews will get a $15.2 million signing bonus, and next season he will make $750,000 in salary. Yeah. So all his money comes up front. The year after that, July 1st, he'll
Which is also what four of the bottom six players, forwards, will make on the Toronto Maple Leafs as well.
The year after that, he'll get another 15.2. I think the year after that, on July 1, it's like 9.2, then down to 7.2 for the last 2 years or whatever. But he's getting all his money in signing bonuses up front. Part of that is lockout protection. You don't make any salary if the league is on strike, but they have to pay you your signing bonuses. An interesting thing, though, I think it was Kevin McGran, I could be wrong, in the Toronto newspapers today also reported that it's something to do with residency. So Austin Matthews is a U.S. resident working in Ontario. his signing bonus will be taxed at 15%. His salary will be taxed at 53%. So which do you want? Which do you want to make? Right, like it makes a little bit of sense that way too. Whereas John Tavares, as an Ontario resident, he didn't have. He still wanted the signing bonuses for the lockout protection.
It's the same tax money, rate.
But as a U.S. resident in Ontario, yeah, no, fuck, give me that. Give me the signing bonus tax rate.
I'll have that taxed on Arizona rates.
Exactly.
Gracias.
So it's interesting. You're far from the only one who thinks this is an overpayment given the term of the contract. My thought is just that, you know, as McKenzie has reported, he was willing to do it this way, and I'm sure it's going to benefit him in the long run. But to keep the core together, we had to find a way to keep these salaries down to at least clear next year.
Well,
in 5 years when this deal is up, and Marner's deal and Nylander's deal and whatever else is going on, we're in a different salary cap world, and you don't have Marleau anymore, and you don't have Zaitsev anymore, and you've just signed a new US TV deal, which is going to bump the cap.
As an astute Leaf fan,
yes,
because most of them are dumb as fuck.
Sorry, guys.
Do you regret the Zaitsev money?
Yes. 1,000%.
Yeah. And as I'm watching, you sent me that video of Bob McKenzie breaking it down.
That's Bob.
Yep.
It's terrible.
And you look at that, the Zaitsev money, and you go, ooh.
7 years.
That seems...
Fucking Lou.
It seems excessive.
Lou cut a massive fart in the room before he walked out.
Hat full of fart right there. A fedora full of fart, for Lou.
For sure.
Yeah, as I'm looking at that, that stuck out and I'm like, woof.
It's terrible. It's fucking us so hard right now.
And so hard. But yeah, do you believe that Marner gets less than double digits?
Ooh, man.
Because we talked about this.
Less than I did a few weeks ago.
Well, I was going to say, you were looking. You were
indignant.
And speaking to me in very condescending tones, right? That wingers don't get that money and all this. And you're like,
I still think Kucherov should be the ceiling.
Okay,
I'm way less confident than he will be.
This is it, right? And so to me, what I said to you at the time was Kucherov, I'm taking Kucherov over Marner.
Fair.
Okay, but it's not a slam dunk.
Right.
There's a debate.
There's some age things.
There's a debate to be had.
Yep.
Right. To me, you look at it and go, that is the salary cap change in those couple of years or the year, whatever it's been.
Not even a year. Yeah.
But a year again. You sent me an email when it was signed, and yep. I'm fuzzy on it.
It was last summer.
Like summer 2018?
Yes. But the world has changed even since then in terms of RFAs.
And we were talking about this on a recent show as well, and forgive me for not knowing how recent it was, how quickly the game has changed in terms of on-ice product. And it's sort of in 3 years you go, less fighting, less enforcers, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. Speed. Like, honestly, speed coming out the yin-yang.
Yeah.
And now you look at how rapid those same changes are happening on the financial side.
Pay for what you're going to give me, not from what you have given me.
And honestly, and again, you were talking about it here again. Just the idea, and I listened to Craig Button today talking about, I'm not giving late 20s guys 7-year contracts.
Right.
If I'm a GM still to this day, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You got to pay your studs coming out of their entry level.
Right.
Right? Or their bridge contracts. Those are the guys. Identify them and pay them.
Yeah.
Give those guys, hey, you're coming out of your contract at 30, 29, 30, whatever that is.
Yep.
That's the expiration of when I've paid you the big money. I've identified you as a core piece.
Yeah. Well, and I referenced that Matt Sundin contract, right? Which is only relevant now because you paid him for what he had just done for the last couple of years, right? At 30, 31 years old, not what he was about to do. And they're just, GMs are getting smarter now. They won't do that. You're going to pay.
They will.
Some will. Yours will.
No, mine won't because they won't pay anybody. What are you talking about, man?
Your card has been rejected, Mr. Yeah, Dwayne.
This is it. There's money in that account. I know there is. No, there isn't.
Yeah, you know what? You pay guys at 21, at 25, at 26, whatever. You don't pay them at 30.
But that is super, super. Like that's within the last calendar year of becoming.
Yep.
And it's violent. For some people
it's
who have...
It's a heavy snapback.
Right. For the Anaheims of the world, right. For the Chicagos of the world, for the Kings of the world, right? Those guys are going...
Ryan Kessler has 6 points this year and has 4 years left at like 6 million,
yeah, 6.5. Yeah.
That's terrible.
And Perry gets laughed.
Yeah.
All those guys are there for 3 more years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oof,
Dustin
you're
Brown.
Not going anywhere.
No.
And those are anchors. You're not trading those guys.
Right. And so that's the thing as I look at this Matthews deal. I don't know what the number is that you're comfortable with. Let's say you overpaid him by $1 million. Fine.
Yeah, all right.
Fine.
Yeah. To me, he's got to be 10.5 to 11 for sure.
Okay.
So we are splitting hairs
Okay, so my point becomes, that's fine. That's your top guy. Fucking pay him. Do not miss on Zaitsev. Do not miss on whatever, right? The bottom end of your lineup has to be cheap, and you can't fuck it up. And Lou, with the Zaitsev thing, hurt us bad. Maybe with the Marlowe thing, right? Another year to come at 6 points. If we don't have Marlowe next year, we're not even talking. We don't have a problem.
Okay, and you and I sat here 2 years ago, and we talked about that and said...
2 years? Awesome. Hey, 3 years?
This is it. And you know what? You had a year of good and a year of... And again, I don't think he's been bad.
Right.
But I'm just saying, you'd rather not have Marlowe at 6.5.
And everyone
right now
keeps talking, you know, what if we just traded him back to San Jose even? He doesn't have to go anywhere he doesn't want to go, but back... He's not doing it. He gave up he uprooted his family and his legacy to come to Toronto to win. And now that you're closer than you've ever been, he's going to let himself be traded? No. He's here. That's a thing.
Right.
Deal with it.
And again, and you're right. Bob had, in that video you sent, that was on, it was a TSN video.
Yeah, we'll share it.
He breaks it down nicely.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of ifs and buts.
And it gets real tight.
And it gets super tight, right? And you have a TBD in there, but it's a TBD at 750.
Got to be 700 grand. Kapanen can't continue to break out, right?
Well, and so to me, if you look, Janssen the other night, well, last night, or 2 nights ago, 4-point night, right? Kapanen has shown flashes of being really good. And you go, those are the guys you can't afford.
Well, and so it depends how you want to do it, right? I'm not advocating this. But Kadri is on a sweet deal, and you could trade him and put Willie at number 3 center.
Oh, see, I keep Kadri, and I get rid of Willie.
Yeah, I'm not, just based on age and talent and these sorts of things.
Well, see, but to me,
but that's the,
you're going to play Willie at center?
Yeah.
I know he does play, but he doesn't. To me, he doesn't bring what Kadri brings.
Right, but Kadri's 28 with a couple years left, and Willie's 22. So if we're going to have to stay ahead of the game here... I agree with you, and I'm not saying this is how you get it, but you could.
But you have trade Kadri for how many more years?
2 or 3.
Yeah.
Well, Willie for 6.
Yeah. Okay. But to me, Kadri's light. I mean, Willie's light. Kadri.
Right.
Kadri can play playoff hockey.
I'm not saying this is best case scenario, but you can.
I hate Kadri.
You
to be
can,
with you.
And that's one of the things I like about him is that everyone else hates him.
This is it.
Right. So. I'm not saying you should do this. I'm saying if you really got in trouble, you could find a taker for Kadri. You could then leave Marner on Tavares' wing. You leave Kapanen on Matthews' wing. And he's not Nylander, but Nylander stays on your team as your third line center. You're still deep, and you've freed up another 2 or 3 million. But you start at Connor Brown and Zach Hyman whatever.
You look at and Nylander, I think, at his top-end projection, is better than Brassard.
Yeah.
Right. But if you look at Brassard, he went to Pittsburgh.
Didn't work.
He's not a third line center, right? He is not. Whereas Kadri fits nicely in that spot. Nylander is the Brassard in the situation. He's not fitting nicely into your third line center.
Sure, and that's fair. We have no center depth behind Kadri, Tavares, and Matthews. Which I mean. Ridiculous.
You don't need it. You can get Matt Cullen for a fucking song because Pittsburgh keeps bringing him back.
So let's say you did trade Kadri and you brought him in for whatever, right? A much cheaper third-line center.
And you're totally undervaluing the GOAT. I'm not sure what's happening there, man.
I'm not.
The GOAT!
Nylander can stay where he is with Matthew, or go back with Matthews, right? Like, there's ways around this that just don't involve trading one of the big four. That's my thing. Why are we always trying to trade Nylander to solve this? You start way lower than that.
Okay.
And you can make it fit. And we'll share this video because Bob does a better job than you and I.
For sure he does.
Yeah.
But he's even said at the interview, he's like, yeah, there's a lot of,
yep,
you know.
It's going to be tough. We don't even get to carry an extra defenseman
forward. Honestly, you have a bunch of guys in there at 750.
Yep. Well, that's, and we talked about this, right? You know, a long time ago that Dubas, and we're going to find out if he's right or wrong, but he's doing a different model, right? He's not paying much for his defense. And the Muzzin deal was a great example. Brought in a guy with a year longer control than Gardner has at a nice number who can play top pair minutes, has playoff experience. That's how this is going to have to go.
Muzzin and the acquisition of Muzzin?
Yeah.
That's a fucking
great deal.
That's a great deal.
Nothing off your roster.
Well, and to me, he brings exactly, if you could look around the league and go, okay, we don't need to bring in, and we're just pie in the sky here.
Yeah.
We don't need to bring in a Doughty. We don't need to bring in a Carlson. We need to bring in a Muzzin.
Right.
That's it right there. A guy who can get you 40 points.
Play power play, a little more physical than what we have.
Step up on you and hit you like a ton of fucking bricks. That's the guy you look around and go,
did it at home the other night and got maybe the biggest cheer I've heard in the building for a while. We don't do that.
And two or three points, I think.
Yes.
Right. And he's the guy who put Colin White out with and Colin White even says, yeah, no, it was a nice clean hit. I looked at him and went, oh, I'm going to get smoked, but I'm already committed to this. I'm reaching and bang. And he ran right through me. Right. That's what Muzzin does.
Yeah.
And that to me, The Leafs smoked it, right?
Yeah.
Dubas did a fantastic job there, right? As a guy who's got another year past this.
Yes.
Right? And so you go right in the window. It's controlled money at $4 million.
Yep.
That's a fucking song.
For sure. And that's what's going to have to happen here is those types of deals that you don't get to hit the home run anymore. You don't get to have the big time defense. You build around this forward model and these top guys and hope you're going to outscore it a little bit. And we'll see if it works. That's up for debate.
Hey, and if you let...
But if that's the model, he hasn't veered from it.
Right. And if you let Gardner go...
Which I think we have to.
Right. Well, by Bob's model, yeah, you got to. Because you can't pay him the money that he's going to want or probably deserve.
Right.
The defense starts to look thin on the back end, right?
Yeah.
And it so... does. You need to win with your $5 million boy there, Zaitsev.
You're hoping like hell.
With Muzzin and Riley
in front. A Liljegren or a Sandin turnout, but that's probably 2 years away.
Well, they're talking about Rosen and
yeah, Cali Rosen's going to play next year. He'll be your third pair of left defense, and we'll see what that looks like. But that's happening. So
with Hainsey is what they have projected at $2 million, is what it says there.
I can stand to see that go somewhere else, but yeah, that's what Bob's projecting. So and that's it. It's a lot like this Matthews deal itself. It's not perfect, but no one is now, right? The cap forces you to have holes. Ours is on the back end. We're trying it up front.
And we'll see, you guys are in a spot where if you look at the Chicago roster right now, and they're on the downside.
Yep.
They got a bunch of top end contracts and a half the roster at the league minimum.
Yeah. It looks like the Olympics 5 years later. Where none of the venues are getting used, but you've already paid for it, right?
Yeah,
like,
and so to me, at least you're looking at with the Leaf model, if it carries forward, right, you do have those years of Kadri, Matthews, Tavares,
yep,
right? Strength down the middle. You still have your Nylander. You still have your Marner.
This
right?
is it. You got six runs at it.
And then you still have, for the next year and a half, you have Muzzin and Riley.
Yep.
And Freddie Anderson and
Freddie
Sparks.
Freddie for 2.5 years left, yeah.
Right. You are running with a budget.
Yeah.
5.5 allocated to goaltending, too,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
Right? So that's a bargain.
Yeah, they're going to take their shot here, man. And
well, they got to.
Yeah.
So they got to go out and get a Wayne Simmons right now.
Fuck. Fucking digging through the fucking couch cushions looking for dimes.
All right. But he's a UFA at the end of the year. I'm saying you bring him in. That's a rental.
Yeah.
Total rental.
And we don't need to get into all the talk of bonuses, but they have to leave a certain amount on the cap to pay Matthews and Marner's rookie bonuses, because if those carry into next year, that's a disaster too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
but
tight.
I, but
it's
I'm
tight.
Just saying, to me, I think this year, man, the Leafs, this is...
I agree with you. They have to take a run this year. Next year is probably a little bit of a step back. It just has to be. The year after, all the years after that, things open up again, you're going to be okay. But I think you have a better shot at winning it this year than next.
Well, you'll have almost $11 million in Zaitsev and Marlowe next year. So
yeah, and the cap going up again based on our playoff ticket money.
Okay. Well,
so it's going to have to go.
You'll get at least two games.
Yeah. Fucker. I'm counting on three, man. We're going seven with Boston all this right. year once more, at least.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Good on you.
We'll wind this one down. There'll be plenty of time to talk about all this stuff because there's going to be a ton of intriguing RFA deals coming up. What does this mean for Point? What does this mean for Line A?
Line A's got to stay. Honestly,
he
has
to score.
He better
score again, man.
I got him in the pool, man. He's killing me, but I don't want to give him up.
Because he had that one killer month. And
November.
He'll have another one.
Well, this is it, right? And I'm hoping it's March because... Yeah. He's fucking me
and
right now.
We're coming up on our playoffs.
And you and I are going head-to-head this week.
Yeah. Still too early in the week to say much.
It
but
certainly
yeah,
is.
It's, I'm nervous.
You're way back.
I'm way back, man.
And I'm
just holding
way
on to a
high.
Playoff spot. You're in third. You're getting fed by the Berghaus.
I got lost Uncle Ralph this week, too, man.
Oh, shit, man. All right. We're going to wind this one down. That's Tall Can Sports. You can give us a follow on Twitter at Tall Can Audio, Facebook.com.
Even if it's a pity follow, it's okay.
Yeah, we love those, man. Still counts. Facebook.com/TallCanAudio, Instagram, Patreon, extra stuff all over the place at Tall Can Audio. For Rob, I'm Matt, and we'll see you all on the next episode.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.